And I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to call this study, What Are You Seeking? What are you seeking? You know, in legalism, the key word is do. In mysticism, the key word is feel. In true biblical Christianity, when you understand grace, the key words are think and believe. And in Colossians chapter 3, we read in verse 1, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, this is a passage for believers. Those at Colossae who had heard the gospel and had put their faith in Jesus Christ. And in the book of Colossians, he is seeking to exalt Jesus Christ, His supremacy and His sufficiency. That He is God manifested in the flesh. And that in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And we now are complete in Christ. And therefore, just as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, we are now to walk in Him. And we are to be on guard for counterfeit spiritualities, like ritualistic legalism, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Or some personal mysticism, chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Or some form of asceticism, chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. And none of these are true spirituality. They're all counterfeits. The emphasis of the ritual is do. The emphasis of the mysticism is feel. And the emphasis of asceticism is don't. Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. And when it's all said and done, chapter 2, verse 23 says, These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, has an appearance that, well, there's value, there's wisdom to this, but it's false humility, and it deals with the neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You see, asceticism does not prevent sin, nor does it produce righteousness. It is of no value to the indulgence of the flesh. That's why those who are involved in that form of legalism, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, inevitably, usually live hypocritical, secretive lives of sin and indulgence in their flesh because the flesh is still running the show. And oftentimes believers are impressed with that externalism. They're impressed with touch not, taste not, handle not. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ? You can find unbelievers, you can find Buddhists who don't touch, don't taste, and don't handle certain things. What does that have to do with it? And you see, when you're walking by faith in the Lord, and you're enjoying your position in Christ, and you are seeking those things that are above, and setting your mind on things above, it then can impact how you live from day to day down here, in your marriage, in your family, in your testimony, and on we go. But it starts with, how are you thinking, and what are you seeking? In fact, notice what he says. If then you were raised with Christ, you understood, seek those things which are above. Now the word if is in the first class condition in the Greek. It assumes a reality from the standpoint of the writer because it is a reality or for the sake of argument. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, and since you're believers, it's true you are. Notice, if then, The word then carries the idea of therefore. It points you back to what he previously said of who is Jesus Christ, how you're complete in him. If then you is plural, there are no haves versus have-nots. If you're saved, this is true of you. Whether you know it or not, it's still true of you. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true of you. If then you were raised with Christ. Interesting. The idea literally is co-raised. Co-raised here with Christ. It's in the aorist tense which speaks of a point in time completed event in the past in which passive voice God raised you with Christ, and it's in the indicative mood which means it is a fact. It's reality. It is how God says it is, and by faith you say, I believe it. I believe that as a result of getting saved, I was placed into union with Jesus Christ. I was co-crucified with Christ. I was co-buried with Christ. I've been co-raised with Christ. I am co-ascended with Christ. No wonder I am to seek those things that are above. But notice the word Christ. You're going to find that word four times in four verses. Because true spirituality all involves Jesus Christ. It's not really about you. It's really about Jesus Christ. And as a result of being raised with Christ, a new creation in Him, living on the resurrection side of the cross, you now are to seek those things which are above. And the word seek here is in the present tense. Keep on seeking over and over again. And the word seeking is an appeal to your volition. It's in the active voice, which means you have to choose this. And it's in the imperative mood, which means it is a command, it is a necessity, it is the will of God for you. Now I just want you to stop and pause for a minute and ask yourself this past week, what have you been seeking? Have you been seeking fame, fortune, popularity? What are you seeking? Are you seeking to be married? Is that at the top of the list? No, how about just a date? Is that what you're seeking? What are you seeking? Now, it's not saying this is the only thing we're to seek, but this is to have top billing. Seek those things that are above. Notice, seek those things which are above. Starting with who? Jesus Christ. Where Christ is. And by the way, Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's the place of honor. That's the place of victory. That's the command post of the universe. So are you seeking a personal, enjoyable fellowship with the Lord and the things that eternally matter? What are you seeking? Now, as I think of that, go with me to Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at some things we're to seek and some things we're not to seek. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I am encouraging you and exhorting you to this end because it is easy to lose perspective. And frankly, the world dangles a lot of carrots in front of us. And say, hey, you really need to seek this. Hey, you need to really seek that. Hey, what about this? And do you have that? And what about this cause? And that? And you just keep putting all these carrots in front of you. And if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, if you're not seeking those things that are above, if you're not in tune to the Lord, you can get involved in all kinds of things that aren't even morally wrong. They're just earthly, worldly things. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we see a priority here. Now, He doesn't say seek those things that are above since you're raised with Christ, because Jesus is talking here on the Sermon on the Mount to Jews who were looking forward to a coming kingdom. They knew nothing of a position in Christ, nor would they. until the day of Pentecost, which the Holy Spirit descended and united and baptized believers into the body of Christ. Therefore, the approach is different, but the point is still seek first the kingdom of God. What are you seeking first? When you wake up in the morning, what do you seek first? What is it? What's occupying your mind when you get up? What is it? Is it making a buck? Is it the next thing I have to do? Is it, where is the Lord here? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now go to Acts chapter 17. Now we see that the Lord does want people to seek Him. In fact, here in Mars Hill, as Paul is preaching, he talks about one of the purposes of creation. Acts 17, verse 27. Verse 26, He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. So the Lord wants the unsaved, in light of the truth they have in creation, to seek the Lord. And while creation won't get you saved, if you respond to the truth you have, and you hear the gospel of grace, and understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again to give you eternal life, and you put your faith in Him, you'll be saved. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because by virtue of various religious bents and backgrounds, Paul points out how various people groups seek different things. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached, namely of the cross, to save those who simply believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. That's what the Greeks seek. By the way, a lot of Americans seek that too, don't they? Called an education. Nothing wrong with an education, though some people seem to be educated beyond their own mental capacities. The Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, and what do? We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews it's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God." Now as a result of putting your faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord wants to be your first love. He wants you to seek Him. And again, there are many things that can distract us and many things that we might seek in addition to the Lord. But if we're looking to the Lord, He can direct us in these other things. And I say that because go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here regarding the issue of marriage, he says in verse 25, "Now concerning virgins, those who have never been married and not involved sexually, I have no commandment from the Lord." Christ didn't specifically address this. "Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in His mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distress, that it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Are you married? Do not seek to be loosed." In other words, don't seek to get out of that marriage. That's what he says. So, "Well, I'm married to an unbeliever." He addresses it earlier in the chapter. "If that unbeliever is pleased to dwell with you, just stay put." "Are you loosed from a wife?" And I would understand that to mean, are you divorced? "Do not seek a wife." Do not seek a wife. In other words, don't make your big objective in life, "I've got to get married." Don't make that your objective. When you do that, you become desperate. You get misfocused. You start throwing yourself around, giving people your numbers. You do all kind of dumb things. And believers can do that, just like the unsaved can. If you are single tonight, don't seek a wife in the sense of making that your pursuit. Seek the Lord and let the Lord direct you. And indeed, as a byproduct, if you start to be directed of the Lord towards someone, fine, but don't make that your objective in life. Now he goes on to qualify it, but even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, and I wrote this to try to spare you that problem. Now, trouble in the flesh could be referring to the persecution that was coming. It could be just a general sense that you put two sinners under one roof, and you know what you have? T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Trouble. There's going to be a certain amount of friction. Trouble. But what is he saying again? It's keep your priorities right. Now go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. For as you live your Christian life from day to day, you're going to have to resolve in your mind, who is it you want to please? Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek, there's that word, to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You know, all of us have an approbation lust, and some of us have given into it more than others. And as a result, you can live your life trying to please everybody. Some people are just plain people pleasers. And I think this is white, so do I. Really, I think that's black. Well, yeah, kind of I do too. I mean, they have the backbone of a jellyfish. And what he's saying here is you have to resolve in your mind, who are you going to seek to please? Is it the Lord? Or is it others? Because you're not going to please both, I can tell you that. Now, with that in mind, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, we read, for all seek, there's that word again, their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You know what you naturally seek is your own. Your own interests, your own desires, your own indulgence. He says, naturally, that's what you're going to do. And that's why you must reckon yourself to be dead to the sin nature and alive unto God because of your position in Christ. And if you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, who is sitting at the right hand of God. Then he adds, you set your mind on things above. Not only seek the things that are above by way of priority, but now set your mind on things above by way of perspective. Feed your soul the Word of God. The only way to set your mind on things above is found in verse 16. What does it say? Get to Colossians again here. 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I ask you, is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? Are you spending time in the word of God just enjoying the Lord? Reading his word, meditating on a verse, a promise, a passage, taking it with you throughout the day. What are you thinking? And one of the problems is we don't think. One of the problems is we just think on those things that are down below. And we inundate our mind via the radio or the internet and other things of stuff that just ultimately distracts us and detours us There is no one in this congregation who can say, my problem is I set my mind on things above too much. You know, there used to be a saying, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I haven't heard it for a long time. Because that isn't the problem. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And by the way, there's a lot of things on the earth you can set your mind on and get involved in and get occupied with and become a soil three believer where the Word of God just is choked out in your life. It happens very easy. And pretty soon you're dull. Pretty soon you're not seeking. Pretty soon you're earthly minded. Pretty soon, again, the divine viewpoint is not in the launching pad of your thinking. Oh, you may be morally still going through everything and looking good on the outside, and so may your kids, but on the inside, where is your occupation? Is it with the Word of God? Does that even matter to you? Well, yes, if it's the right subject. Well, that's the problem. The problem is, when you're enjoying the Lord, you want to hear the Word of God. You're going to occupy your mind with the Word of God. And apart from that, you are going to set your mind on things on the earth. Well, they're nothing really all that wrong. Yeah, they're all temporal. They're earthly. Are you so legal in your thinking that you can't see beyond something that isn't wrong in itself, but something that is worthless in the long run? And why are we to do this? Why are we, in light of the fact we've been risen with Christ, why are we to seek those things that are above and set our minds on things above? We're told four gives us the reason. You know why? Past, in the past, you died with Christ when you were saved. And now in the present, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in the future, whenever Christ appears, and He, by the way, is our life. He's our purpose for life, our resource for life. He is our life. Then you also will appear with Him, with Christ, in glory. And then tell me what's going to matter. You see, every appeal in the Christian life here is based on who Jesus Christ is, what He has done for us, our position in Him, and therefore how we're to think. I haven't told you what to do yet. It's how you are to think. What is your priority? What is to be your perspective? And as the Word of God dwells in you richly, when you get together with another believer, you can spill what you're filled with because you're enjoying the Lord. You're enjoying His Word. Have you ever gotten together with another believer and been very disappointed as you look back over the night that there was hardly any real fellowship? It's not to say you can't talk about other things. But are you encouraging one another? Are you seeing the value even of fellowship? There's people that come to church here who people don't even reach out to them. They're not friends. They don't have any concern. They can sit next to them week after week and hardly turn around and say hello, let alone have a genuine concern. You know what? Because you're thinking about yourself. For all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. When you think about the Lord Jesus and you're occupied with Him, pretty soon that's going to filter down into a ministry mentality, wanting to minister to others and fellowship with others and encourage others. And when someone's faltering, and we do, and they're fumbling, we pray for them, encourage them. We just don't let them fall. Not that we can live someone else's Christian life for them. We can't. But are we willing to be what God would have us to be and do what He would have us to do in light of our position in Christ as we are seeking those things that are above, setting our mind on things above, starting with the Lord Jesus Christ, our position in Him, our possessions in Him, what really matters in light of eternity? That's why when you're going through a trial and someone asks you, well, how are you doing? You say, well, not bad under the circumstances. And you can say, what are you doing there? What are you doing under the circumstances? You can live a life above the circumstances when you're thinking of your position in Christ. claiming the promises of God. Yes, those circumstances are real. Those trials are real. But you come through as more than a conqueror through Christ that loved you when you're walking by faith and enjoying this fellowship with the Lord, all on an invisible, spiritual, vertical plane that the naked eye cannot begin to see. And therefore, instead of being impressed with the externals of someone, you get together with them and you fellowship around the Lord, and it's all invisible. And furthermore, even externally, most people aren't all that hot anyhow. And so when you're grace thinking, this is how you're going to do it. When you're legalistic, it's all going to be about the externals. Not that we shouldn't be concerned that we're a good testimony, but that's not the bread and butter of the Christian life at all. So I want to ask you, what have you been seeking? Has it been those things above? Is that what have you been setting your mind on? Has it been the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that really matter, so that the byproduct could be seeing other people like Christ see them as saved and lost, overflowing in your fellowship with one another, and the one another's are happening? See, that horizontal breakdown is because there's a vertical breakdown going on. This. Notice the three motivations. Why? Because I've died with Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And one day He's coming again, and I'm going to appear with Him in glory. So therefore, all of this makes absolute sense. Why it's my priority. And you know, when you're thinking like that, even going back to missions, if I could for a minute, you think, absolutely that's what we want to invest in. Absolutely we want to get the Word of God out. Absolutely, because I'm thinking in light of eternity. I'm not thinking about my own comfort zone, which even on my worst days is better than probably almost everybody in Myanmar. And so when you're thinking that way again, all these other things begin to just fall into place. So what are you seeking? Is it the Lord? Or have you left your first love? What are you setting your mind on? What are you occupied with? And you know, isn't it funny? So people, gadgets, you know, gadgets. And they just get so occupied with gadgets. You know. Who cares? And I'm not saying it's wrong to... You have one of those dumb things, you know? Which I can't figure out anyhow. My point is, what are you occupied with? What makes your heart tick? What thrills your heart? You know, and when you're, again, when you're enjoying a relationship with the Lord, you're not going, well, I guess I should really read a verse in the Bible, you know. It's just, you know, again, it's like marrying someone I hate, you know. I guess I should do it, though. You know, I mean, it's, what are we thinking? And that's where I'm going to always appeal to you first and foremost. Now, that doesn't mean the Scriptures never get into our actions at times and our relationships. It does, but it starts out on this basis, and this is where we must go to that time and time again. So my question is, what are you seeking and what are you thinking? Is it the Lord? Are you occupied with the object, the Lord Jesus, flowing from there, your position in Christ, your possessions in Christ, then your privileges in Christ, and so forth, so that all of this then gets down into practical shoe leather in your life as you are motivated because you died with Christ, your life is hidden with Christ, and you know He's coming again, and it'll be worth it all when you see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the Word of God. Oh, we default repeatedly into worldly thinking, into thinking of an occupation with self, but I want to thank You that there's victory through the cross. Thank You for our position in Christ. May we seek those things that are above, starting with the Lord Jesus. May we set our mind on things above as we occupy our mind with the Word of God so that we can have a divine viewpoint on life. We can love what you love and hate what you hate and desire what you desire. That we would have discernment so we wouldn't get occupied with the things down here and entangled with the affairs of this life, that we might please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier. And Father, we know the world is constantly throwing carrots in front of us. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace in all of these things. May we take this admonition to heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, our time is gone tonight, so we'll just seek to celebrate the Lord's Supper this Sunday. I want to invite you this Sunday to our Sunday service. By the way, Lord willing, we will be concluding our study in the book of Nehemiah this Sunday. We're going to cruise, so you may want to read ahead chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13. Say, there's no way you're going to finish that. Well, I'm not even going to teach on some of those chapters, and as you read them, you would see why. So, hopefully we'll see you this Sunday. We do have some ice cream, I'm assuming, tonight, as we usually do. And with that, you are dismissed.